Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm Sammy Jacobs. Along with me is TJ Inman. We are back talking Indiana football after a busy last few weeks after the bucket game for the Hoosiers. An offensive coordinator change as Nick Sheridan is out. Walt Bell is in. We'll talk all about that. Indiana also picked up 4 players from the transfer portal last weekend. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about who's on campus for official visits this weekend and getting ready for signing day, although we will have our own signing day preview next week as we get into that. IU is making moves. But first, a word from our sponsors. Wilder versus Fury, Mayweather versus Pacquiao, electric personalities that produce big fights and even bigger betting opportunities. This Saturday, Jake Paul and Tyron Woodley will be no different. So don't miss out on the action. Bet the fight with MyBookie. MyBookie has the best odds and prop bets for Paul Woodley too. And you can start by doubling your initial deposit all the way up to $1,000 using promo code SPORTSDRINK. That's double your deposit to double your funds and double the excitement for Paul Woodley too at MyBookie. As much as we'd like, all I'd love to see Jake Paul eat canvas, he's looked strong in previous matchups. And with Woodley taking this fight on short notice, all the odds are in Paul's favor. Back the problem child to win this rematch as he's sure to be the favorite. Don't miss out on the double your first deposit up to $1,000 using promo code SPORTSDRINK. Head to MyBookie today to place your bets, fill your pockets, and watch this grudge match get settled with Paul versus Woodley too. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. All right, TJ, as excited as we are about Paul Woodley too, let's get into the meat and potatoes of this podcast, which is Indiana football and the major changes that have come with the end of the season. For all of you who missed out on this season, good job. You missed a 2-10, absolutely dreadful season. So hopefully you're doing something better with your time than that. But less than 24 hours after the Hoosiers lost 44-7 to Purdue in the bucket game, Nick Sheridan was out at offensive coordinator. IU's offense was last in the Big Ten in points per game. They just atrocious, dealt with a lot of injuries, just looked like a bare-bones operation. At the end, Nick Sheridan is out. Today, it was announced officially. So on Thursday, it was announced officially that Walt Bell will take over the offensive coordinator duties. For those of you who don't know who Walt Bell is, he most recently was the head coach at UMass, where he went, 2-34, something like that. He had 2 wins over a number of years, which wasn't great. UMass is a notoriously tough job. It's stuck up in the Northeast where they don't really care about college football. And if you're playing college football in the Northeast, you're probably going to BC, Syracuse, Rutgers, Harvard, or Yale, and not really looking at UMass all that much. IU fans might know Walt Bell from his time at Maryland. He had a very good rushing attack with Ty Johnson and those running backs in that system. He had an outstanding offense at Arkansas State. And before UMass, he was at Florida State. TJ, you wrote an excellent article on Walt Bell, ringing the bell, what we're getting in Walt Bell. sell the people who are skeptical on Walt Bell.
I think it's fair to be skeptical. I think that you can have two kind of frames of mind here. One can be kind of where I'm at, which is, you know, looking at his past experience as an offensive coordinator, which I go back to that because I don't think the UMass part, I don't hold that against him at all. I think it can provide hopefully some useful leadership aspects to him and some lessons that can translate to Indiana. And hopefully that additional experience that he got running a program will help him lead the offense. That is something that Tom Allen mentioned today in the statement that was released by IU, that he was looking for somebody that could lead the offense. And Tom Allen believes that Walt Bell is that guy. So I think you can be cautiously, at least curious about what Walt Bell can do. I think that you can like a lot of the scheme that he runs, and I happen to enjoy it. I think a kind of at its simplest form, a power spread is what you're looking at. It's a lot of different looks out of a shotgun, occasionally using a pistol formation with one, two, three guys in the backfield, a heavy dose of multiple back sets, which I think is very fun to watch. A lot of misdirection, a lot of action before the snap and motion to attempt to keep the defense off balance. I think that is fun to watch. I think that you can also, at the same time, look at the total productivity of Walt Bell's offenses and be underwhelmed that this is the direction that IU is going. The numbers, you know, they do not jump out in a positive way to you. I do think there are extenuating circumstances that, you know, an optimist could say, well, yeah, he had these injuries at quarterback when he was at Maryland. Yep. And he had a dreadful offensive line when he was at Florida State. And they still managed to have a very good running back in Cam Akers that averaged over 5 yards a carry, I believe, and the second best passing attack in the ACC that year, with a, again, really awful offensive line. So I think that there's positives to find, but I think that having a level of skepticism is certainly understandable. I do hope, and, you know, we're not here to tell anybody how to feel. You feel however you want to feel. That's totally fine. And as an IU football fan, if you're like, man, this is really not what I was hoping for, I just don't have any hope that this is going to work. Okay. You know, I'm not going to try and dissuade you otherwise. I would just hope that people give this at least a chance to work. Because I think that some of the things that I have read about Walt Bell, I think are over the top criticisms. He has had success. It's not fair, in my opinion, to say that Walt Bell has been terrible everywhere he's gone. I don't think that's accurate. I think it is accurate to say there are some things to be very concerned about in terms of where his offense is finished in the FBS ranks. That's fair. But I don't think it's fair to paint this as a total failure before we even see Walt Bell get to coach a game as the offensive coordinator.
How about hold the practice?
Sure. The guy, yeah.
You know, yep. It's, you know, one, it, you know, we're going through the IU release. There are a couple stats, and they're going to be super positive because, you know, it's an IU release. But, you know, with Maryland, he, I think, became the first coordinator to have four different quarterbacks win a game, and things like that. So it's that's something that Indiana couldn't do this year. Are you telling me that, like, Peyton Hillis and Max Borgenslaughter are better than Jack Tuttle and Donovan McCauley? I don't think so. I mean, not on paper, at least. So, you know, Maryland was just one of two teams in the nation to win at least three games with three different starting quarterbacks that year in 2017. His offense ranked in the top 20 nationally for fewest turnovers, which was a huge issue for IU this year. He had the Big Ten receiver of the year. I saw one criticism. Well, they didn't use DJ Moore enough. He'd set the program single season mark with 80 receptions. He also led the Big Ten with 1,033 receiving yards and was, you know, the third 1,000-yard receiver in Maryland history. So, yeah, the knocks on Walt Bell, because people set their expectations of, oh, my God, Kevin Wilson's going to come back and things like that, which I don't know where that rumor got started. I don't know who started that rumor, but that had to be a joke. And guess who was
never going to happen.
It was never going to happen. And then people want, oh, we need Greg Freiberg. Well, you know who was coaching those terrible offensive lines at Florida State when Walt Bell was the offensive coordinator? Greg Fry.
Yep.
And look, Greg Fry did great stuff under Kevin Wilson at IU, but his next two stops, which I believe were Florida State and Duke, haven't worked that well and things like that. So, look, UMass is an impossible job. It is probably – I don't know if it's worse than UConn. It might be, but I don't know. Those are, if you really want to get into a deep discussion of college football, which job is harder, UConn or UMass? You know, you could go on for days about that. But look, people wanted a big name hire. And I think people are also getting frustrated with the money issues that IU may or may not be having. You know, Tom Allen took a pay cut. He took it, you know, over the next whatever years of his contract, he took $200,000 pay cut to pay Walt Bell and to get rid of Nick Sheridan. So he's getting paid $700,000, which if you go back to Kalen DeBoer when he was the offensive coordinator, Kalen DeBoer got $800,000. And he was fantastic. And when Kalen DeBoer was hired, nobody really knew who he was. You know, they criticized, well, he hasn't coached at the big time yet. It was basically the same thing. And, you know, if you've never heard of Walt Bell before, you can't criticize him. You can't criticize what you don't know. So give the guy a chance. He's out recruiting. He's out trying to get transfers and plug holes and things like this. I think another frustrating part is that there were so many holes on Indiana's offense that it wasn't just Nick Sheridan. There was the offensive line was dreadful and the wide receivers were dreadful. So to not see other moves made in addition to this is also a little concerning. And this is probably the biggest hire that Tom Allen will have to make, because if it blows up in his face, his time at IU is probably done sooner rather than later, which is unfortunate. But again, it's the off season. There's a lot. You have spring, summer, and fall practices. You're going to have a totally revamped roster and things like that. So give the guy a chance, and not the first drive if they go three and out and things like that. But all I hope is that Tom Allen allows him to run his system the way he wants to run it. And what I want to see out of Walt Bell is that I want to see him a coach who can adjust his personnel as well. So, you know, if Donovan McCauley is playing quarterback, you could adjust to him. If it's Jack Tuttle or somebody else, you could, you know, adjust to adjust to your personnel. Or if somebody gets hurt or things like that, adjust to your personnel. Because I think that's the biggest – that's my biggest need. He does check a lot of boxes for IU. He's a former head coach, which is what Tom Allen wanted. He's, you know, a run first, low turnover type of offense and things like that. So, look, is it the marquee hire that everybody wanted? No. But you got to give the guy a chance.
Yeah. It's I personally, and this is not going to be everybody's cup of tea, but like I said, I do enjoy watching his successful offenses with Maryland and Arkansas State to add to that. And I think the primary things that stood out to me were the multiple back sets. And this is where I think his offense were at their best, when you had a couple of dynamic backs that could move well, when you had offensive lines that were athletic, not necessarily the biggest, but were athletic enough to be able to pull the guards out into space, and that you had a lot of, and they used some tight end, they also used some running backs to do this, either in a shotgun or a pistol, a tight end in motion to be a lead blocker, or to block and then release on a screen. That's another thing that Walt Bell used quite a bit of as an extension of a running game, was a lot of screen passes, different types of screens. And DJ Moore, you know, was a guy that took advantage of this at Maryland, using tunnel screens, delayed screens with tight end, a lot of kind of RPO stuff, which is everybody runs that now, but sort of inverted veer, which really is putting the defensive end and the edge defenders for the defense into a dilemma with a fast running back and then a quarterback that was quick enough that you had to respect the run. They also would run pass options off of that. So it forced the defense to defend multiple things. And that's where I saw his offenses really at their best. And, you know, Maryland had some really successful games utilizing that, where they would get going. The most consistent things that you saw with Walt Bell offenses: use of the screen game, more run than pass. The passing that he did have would often be off of running looks, so that you run the ball successfully, continue to you know, come out in formations that look like runs. The defense is playing the run because you've run it on them successfully previous in that drive, or, you know, previous in that game, and then you pass off of that. So, you know, becoming unpredictable with the same looks. And then a mobile quarterback, those have been the kind of the staples of successful Walt Bell offenses. Not necessarily a quarterback that's just a straight scrambler, but a mobile quarterback that can make things happen with his legs. That doesn't mean that that's 100% what he's going to run at Indiana. We don't know that. We don't know for sure what he's going to do. And like you said, him being able to adjust to his personnel and adjust to what a defense is doing during the game, which is something that Nick Sheridan had an awful time with. I mean, there were several drives or several games where IU had a good first, you know, 10 to 15 plays where they were scripted plays. Sheridan could plan those out during the week. Here we go. We're going to start with this. We're going to practice this. We're going to run this all week. And that was fairly successful for Indiana throughout the season. Once those scripted plays were done and the defense got to make some adjustments to what IU had come out and done, the offense completely fell apart. So how Walt Bell adjusts during a game and adjusts to his personnel, that's going to be, you know, a big part of whether or not he's going to be successful in Indiana as the offensive coordinator. But I like the schemes that he has been successful running in the past. I think that currently I use personnel, and we'll get into, you know, a couple of the additions they've had here in a minute. I don't know how well Indiana's current running back crop fits into what Walt Bell typically wants to do. It's hard to say because the scheme that we saw them with and the offensive line we saw them running behind was so bad this past year. It's hard to gauge what some of these guys are actually capable of. I think that that and the wide receiver group is going to be very interesting to see how they perform under a different scheme. What it does look like right now is that so far, the same offensive line coach and the same offensive line, for the most part, that IU had last year is going to be what's coming back. That means that Walt Bell is going to have to scheme with the offensive line that he has, or Indiana is going to have to do a heck of a job developing the players that they have and hopefully bolster that group with a couple of transfers in that can have an immediate impact to make that line better. Because quite frankly, I don't know how much of a difference any offensive coordinator is going to be able to make if the offensive line play is as bad as it was this past season.
Yeah, and there's, you know, it looks like Caleb Jones is not going to be back, so you're down one starter there. Dylan Powell graduated, so you're down another starter there, which is not bad because the offensive line was not good. So maybe some fresh blood will be needed. Speaking on the recruiting front, IU picked up four transfers this week in Emory Simmons, a wide receiver coming in from UNC, Bradley Jennings, a linebacker from University of Miami, Florida, Ladarius Cox and Patrick Lucas, both defensive linemen from Ole Miss. And it appears to be that there are a couple more visiting this week. That was a good haul last week. You also, Indiana also loses some in the transfer portal as well. The biggest name going in there is Michael Penix, which I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, TJ, I think is the best. It was the only move for both sides. Penix, he gave all he had for IU, and injuries derailed his career. He was super talented with a big arm, but I think he needed a fresh start somewhere else, and IU really needed to move on from him as well. It's just the best for both sides, and I wish Mike nothing but the best. He was fantastic to talk to and always honest and things like that. But it was, you know, you get to a point in life where you need a fresh start. And IU, I thought, put all the chips in the Michael Penix table, pushed it to the middle of the table early in the year. I don't know if he was ready to start at Iowa. He maybe was physically ready. I don't think he was mentally there and things like that. And he maybe pressed a little too much and tried to make the hero throw. And that turned out to be disastrous as well for IU. But I know we wish him the best here. Also, Shamar Jones hit the portal on December 6th. So we'll see where IU goes from there. In the portal, it's going to be an active portal. I think IU could sign up to 32 people instead of 25. This year, that's according to Matt Weaver on Pegs. That was you know, kind of the middle ground on how they're going to do that this year. On campus this week, it is a huge recruiting time for IU this week. On campus this week, what's this weekend? December 10th, December 9th. IU's got some visitors. And the biggest one is Tanner Bailey from Gordo, Alabama. He's a four-star quarterback, former Oregon commit. As we all know, Mario Cristobal is headed down to Miami, and we'll see what happens there. But Tanner Bailey will be on campus along with Devontae Miles, who's a defensive lineman from River Rouge, Michigan, and then Benson Sneed, who's a defensive lineman transfer from Tennessee. That's according to the 247 site, what they have up now, and things like that. So it'll be a big weekend to keep an eye on Tanner Bailey as well. TJ, what are your thoughts on IU picking up some transfers and how this recruiting class might shape up, because it's getting down to the nitty gritty. Early signing day is December 15th.
Yeah. So Josh Hoover was the quarterback commit in this class from Texas, a kid that a lot of people were quite excited about, understandably so. I think he's going to be very good for TCU. He decommitted and basically flipped to Texas Christian right away to play for Sonny Dykes and that new staff. So that's where Tanner Bailey comes into the equation. That would be a tremendous late get. We'll talk more in depth about him if that comes to pass. It does appear that the other Indiana commits are still all on board. So you're looking at who else can you add from the high school class? How many do you want to add from the high school class? And then how many transfers do you want to go pick up? And it was going around in my head when you said 32. How many transfers would Indiana be looking to get? I would guess that the staff is open, given what we saw play out on the field and given, you know, the new scheme or desires that Walt Bell might want to put in place. It would not be shocking to see Indiana, you know, get close to that 32 number. I think that it's going to be interesting to see, one, how many offensive linemen does IU attempt to add in this class? Because if they don't have anybody else leave outside of Caleb Jones, I want to say that they've got still like 13 or 14 scholarship guys that are going to be on the roster for that group, because the incoming offensive line class is actually, from a ratings perspective, probably the best offensive line group that IU has brought in my memory. I mean, Demon Moore, Lynch, and Smith, I mean, that, you know, three borderline four-star guys that are coming in, and last year's group was had some good potential guys too. I think, you know, it's going to be tempting for the staff to go get some quick fixes in the portal, but they might not be able to do that given the numbers they still have along that offensive line. It might be maybe one or two transfer offensive linemen. So you're looking at, I think that they still want to get at least one, probably two additional running backs to this class outside of Jabron Payne. I think that there's probably going to be a quarterback of some type. I suppose it's possible you get one incoming freshman, which might be Tanner Bailey. That'd be great. And then also look at the portal for a quarterback that Walt Bell picks out. I think it is possible you add, outside of Emory Simmons, that you add another, at least one more wide receiver. Probably not any tight ends. I think they feel comfortable with the group that they have, but that could depend on what Matt Bjorson chooses to do, whether or not he comes back. On the defensive side of the ball, I think that they feel good probably everywhere but the defensive line, which we've seen them target pretty heavily. They got two big bodies from Ole Miss that you mentioned. I think that they both will have a chance to be in the rotation, particularly I think provide hopefully a bit of a pass rush, guys that can get into the opposing backfield. I think that that's kind of what those two will be looking at primarily. Secondary, you know, the good news there, Jalen Williams and Monster Matthews have announced they are returning. Tywan Mullen announced he's returning. I don't believe we've gotten word on Reese Taylor, but the secondary is going to be coming back pretty much intact and hopefully stay healthy. So I think the defense is looking at defensive line and then linebacker Jennings, who from Miami, that's a solid addition. He's a guy that started and played in, I believe, 35 games for the Hurricanes and was pretty productive. He can come in and help the Hoosiers at linebacker. His younger brother transfer from Maryland, and he's considering Indiana as well. But I don't think there's going to be all that much to bring in more secondary or linebacker guys. I think the focus on defense will be that line and trying to find some guys that can help you with your pass rush. But I think the portal is primarily going to be used for offensive players moving forward. I don't know if you concur with that, but and one of the targets that they had in last or in, I don't know if it was last weekend, but fairly recently, Sean Shivers from Auburn. That's a player that immediately when I heard Indiana was interested, I, you know, sent our group text that I was excited about that. He's a dynamic runner, very quick. He's a guy that has track speed, and I think that he'd be a tremendous fit for Walt Bell's offense because Walt Bell likes to get his running backs with misdirection to the outside edge. And having a home run hitter like Shivers that had success at Auburn just behind two really good backs, that would be a major get for the offense. I'll just kind of wrap up my point with, I think the transfer portal is going to be used heavily to change the personnel on the offensive side of the ball. I'm very interested to see kind of who they can get outside of the addition of Emory Simmons, which that's a good one. He was successful at North Carolina, had a bit of a, you know, odd journey committing and decommitting and committing again to different places, but
including IU.
Yeah, including IU. Eventually found his way to North Carolina. He was fine there. You know, you look at where does he fall in line in the pecking order? Hard to say exactly. He's below DJ Matthews, but I can't think of another IU receiver that I would automatically put ahead of him. So I think he'll certainly have the chance to be on the field quite a bit. But you know, if I get, you know, I think if the IU coaches have their way, I would be willing to say that if they got some truth serum in them, they would say that they want to get four or five starters on the offensive side of the ball from the transfer portal for this coming season.
Yeah, it's going to be a totally different looking team when they take the field next year against Northwestern on, I think it's September 4th.
How big of a game is that? We're not going to start previewing that for a while, but that is a – boy, that's a large game just for the
– both programs.
Overall feeling of the program, you
for
get another home opener – or I'm sorry, another first game is a Big Ten game, which I'm sure is not what Tom Allen would have chosen. But you right there, start of the game, start of the season, you're out to prove last year was a fluke. And there's your chance. A beatable opponent. We have no clue what IU's going to look like or what Northwestern's going to look like. But, I mean, that's just a massive game for both teams. And for IU specifically, on your home field against Northwestern on opening day.
It might be a tricky – it's not opening day for Northwestern. Northwestern does open in week zero against Nebraska in Ireland.
Oh, I did not know that. Wow,
so
okay.
That game – because it was supposed to be Nebraska-Illinois this year, and it got canceled because of COVID. And they rescheduled it, and it's Nebraska versus Northwestern in Dublin on August 27th, which leads me to believe maybe, just maybe, you get a sleepy Northwestern team coming in. I don't know. Usually those games – let me go back to Nebraska's schedule this year. I always believed that those games, when they had them originally scheduled, that they had the next week off to recover. But we'll see. That's something to keep an eye on, I think. Because if Nebraska has a game scheduled too, it's going to be a weird opener and stuff like that. So but it is a big opener. It's a big opener for both programs. You know, Northwestern's coming off a lousy season as well after winning the Big Ten West. And they've kind of gone on their own roller coaster ride. And then, of course, Indiana went down to 2-10 this year after two good years in a row. So you're right. It's a Indiana Northwestern doesn't scream off the page as, oh, that's a huge game. It's a huge game for both programs. So, and we'll preview it later during the summer and things like that. We have a ton more to talk about. But anyway, TJ, it's time to wrap this thing up. Final thoughts before signing day.
Your first priority is hanging on to the guys you worked so hard to get committed. We haven't heard of any rumblings of additional players outside of Hoover, wanting out. Your next priority is, who can we find that's going to help get this program back on the track we want it to be on? That's from a talent standpoint and from a culture standpoint. And then from a personnel fit standpoint, because one of the things that I think perhaps Indiana has not done a great job of is finding guys that fit your system, your identity. And I say that primarily on the offensive side of the ball. And it was a big issue I had with Nick Sheridan as a whole. What was Indiana's offensive identity? They didn't have one. So it's hard to recruit players that are going to match that identity when you don't know what it is yourself.
Yep.
So I'm hopeful that Walt Bell can, and Tom Allen and the whole offensive staff can determine quickly, this is going to be who we are on offense. Let's find players that can help us play that way. And I think that the next couple of weeks for the high school recruits, it's going to be less than a week here, but the transfer portal plus the high school recruits that they're going to get, I hope that they're able to identify guys that they know exactly how they're going to be used.
Yeah.
This is who this player is and how he fits in our system on offense. And that, you know, that's easier to do with portal guys than it is with high school recruits, because you've already seen them at the college level. And obviously, it's critical for those portal players to be able to come in and have an instant impact, which is what IU needs on offense. I'm not the biggest fan of the transfer portal itself and the kind of free agency aspect it adds, but it certainly makes it easier to flip your roster. We saw countless examples of it this past season with teams that were really struggling in 2020, an infusion of transfers. They got some success, they gained some confidence, and it flipped their program instantly. That's what IU's got to do, and the next couple weeks are going to go a long way to determining how quickly they'll be able to do that and if it's possible for the 2022 season. So it's a gigantic couple of weeks for the IU staff. They did a nice job with the opening weekend of it, getting several commits out of the list of visitors that they had on campus. They've got to keep repeating that, though.
Yeah, they do. I think, you know, you hit the nail on the head there, TJ. They got to keep this class together, because right now I think it's currently 31st in the country, which after a 2-10 season, still pretty impressive. Yeah. And then you got to fill your needs. And so, you know, you got to fill where Josh Hoover is, whether that's you go get a high school quarterback, you get a transfer portal quarterback, or you get both. I do think a veteran quarterback who's played significant time and has starting experience would be a very good addition for IU next year. But you also have to stockpile some other guys there as well. The running back room needs to be rebuilt. Wide receiver room needs to be rebuilt. Maybe you go get, like you said, a tight end, the offensive line, go get a veteran offensive lineman, things like that. And, you know, we'll see where it shakes out. Next Wednesday, because signing day, early signing period starts next Wednesday, the 15th. It's going to be extremely interesting to see who signs their letter of intent that day, what transfers are coming in, and maybe you get another flurry of commits this weekend before that date. So we'll see. It'll be a totally different IU team when it comes to fall in terms of personnel. They do have some rebuilding to do. I think you need another linebacker or two in there as well. They have a couple offers out to transfers, because you lost Micah McFadden, declared for the NFL. We don't know on Cam Jones yet. You lose DK Bonham and Thomas Allen as well. He's played a lot of football for IU. So we'll see. They've got a lot of work to do at those positions, and hopefully the staff could plug those holes so they can avoid another down year. Anyway, that does it for today's podcast. TJ, thanks for joining us. Thank you for listening. You can follow us on HoosierHuddle.com. Hit us up on Twitter as well at Hoosier_Huddle. Follow us on Facebook and all that stuff. Walt Bell will be available to the media on Sunday prior to the men's basketball game, so we'll get a chance to talk to him and have content up then. Anyway, keep an weather eye out for recruiting news this weekend. And as always, thank you for listening. And have a great rest of the week.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.